And welcome back again to the What's Up program with your host, Terry Lowry. Still with us is a good friend, Mark Cahill. I call him pastor. I call him evangelist. He is just burning with the desire to share the love of Jesus Christ. Mark Cahill, welcome again to the What's Up program.
Hey, Terry, thanks for having me back. And I just thank all your listeners who are listening in, but doing more than that, actually listening in, reading their Bibles and obeying what they read, because that's what we need to be doing to make a difference in our world today.
Well, you mentioned in the very first segment, and friends, all these segments now can be found at terrylowry.com, TerryLowry.com. Go to guest, scroll down to Cahill, C-A-H-I-L-L. Click on that. All the segments that we've done with Mark Cahill, from the most recent to those a year or two ago, will come up. You can listen to those at your convenience, 24/7. But in the very first segment today, Mark, you shared Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, did a survey, says about 2% of evangelical Christians share their faith on a regular basis.
Yes.
We'll go back to that in a minute, but you also said about 5% of Christians have ever read their Bible completely through. Well, here in the WhatsApp program, we're taking the dramatization of the Bible that's presented by Faith Comes by Hearing, and we're trying to play 8, 10, 12, 15 minutes every day. Should we cut out time and play it 30 minutes every day?
Well, I tell you, one thing I do, Terry, is I have the Bible on CD in my car. When I travel, I listen to it. I was just here exercising a few minutes ago. I was listening to the Bible on CD, on tape. I am trying to soak my mind with that word, because if I don't do that, that's how I buy the lies from the world. If I understand Genesis chapter 1 and just the book of Genesis, right there I've got a ton of ammunition just to come back against the teachings of evolution. So we have got to know our Bibles better. As I tell people, God wants to get his word in you so he can get it out of you. But if he's not getting it into us, if we're not allowing it into us, how does it ever get it out of us?
It doesn't. It won't. Garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
We'll repeat what we heard on Sean Hannity program, or Rush Limbaugh, or Dan Patrick, or whatever. But we got to know the word. We got to share the word. Is there anything more important than going up to someone and talking to them about what's going to happen when their heart beats the last time? Is that a good come-on question about Christianity?
Oh, definitely. You know, that's why I tell people that one of the best compliments I get on either one of my books is just how much scripture verses are in there to prove the point. So one of the things I ask people, I was just up at Notre Dame last week, and I asked a guy and a girl, they were sitting there, and actually he was running across the country. I'm like, you're doing what? He was actually running from San Francisco all the way over to Rhode Island or something, and he's raising money for cancer research, and they've raised $150,000 so far. I mean, they were just interesting. So I said, hey, let me ask y'all a question. They said, all right. I said, do you ever think about what's out there when you die? And they were like, yeah, I kind of do. I said, well, why do you think about it? They gave some response. I said, what conclusion have you come to? And they both weren't sure. So I just asked them if they believed there was a God. And one said, I'm probably more agnostic. One said, I used to believe it. We started talking. We talked for about 20 minutes. I gave them one heartbeat away. I have actually heard from both of those people through email how they couldn't believe how they were sharing things in just 20 minutes of time with a total stranger. And they said it was so comfortable to chat about because they were intrigued. I was giving them information they were looking for. They both said, I'm going to read your book and I'll be back in touch once I read it. So you better believe people answer questions like that.
How many years have you been sharing the gospel with complete strangers?
Probably approaching 11 or 12 right about now.
Now, when did your first book come out entitled One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven?
We just hit 4 years ago on that one, and we just passed 160,000 copies around the world.
Okay, so you'd been sharing the gospel for about 7 years prior to the publication of your first book.
Yeah, I was just cutting my teeth. That's what the Lord did. He got me out of a teaching job, and I literally could not find another job. So I literally just spent a year on the streets, going to malls, beaches, music festivals, gay and lesbian festivals, you know, concerts, whatever, just going out, meeting people, talking, sharing my faith. I cut my teeth, began to speak at things, and a couple Christian men really challenged me to put this into a written form so it could equip a lot more people across America and across the world.
So that was your first book, One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven.
Yes, sir.
So now, the first 7 years, did you have the wisdom, the knowledge, the tools to be able to witness to, say, that cross-country runner? His name was Forrest Gump, right? No, not
actually,
really.
The funny thing was his name was Christian, and that's what was funny.
Oh, now, if you had bumped into him 10 years ago, do you think it had the same results, or do you think that you've matured, that you've gained wisdom, that you're wiser now to be able to share? Lead in questions. You know, the salesman can't come right up to you and say, you want to buy a toothbrush? Or you want to buy this car?
Right.
You want to buy the TV? You know, can I help you? They use leading questions. Like when I sold Bibles door to door, I wouldn't knock on a door. I wouldn't talk to somebody for 3 or 4 or 5 minutes and then go, you want to buy a Bible? And when I would knock on the door, somebody says, what are you selling? If I said I'm selling Bibles, I already got one slam. We had to use leading, we had to be wise. So, you know, when I was selling Bibles door to door in Appalachia, Virginia, and in Richmond, Indiana, and north of Muskegon and in Michigan, you know, we use what's called a trial close. You know, this family Bible here, do you think you'd keep it here on your coffee table, or do you think you'd put it on your nightstand beside your bed to read the last thing before you go to sleep? And we listen to their reply.
We interrupt this program for a special announcement.
All segments today, yesterday, and for nearly 2 years can be found at terrylowry.com. Log on to www.terrylowry.com and search the archives by guest, organization, topic, and or date. Visit terrylowry.com today.
And now back to our regular program.
Mark, if you said, I put it here on the coffee table so I can share with everybody. I want to show by the beautiful pictures in there. Oh, I'm going to put it on the nightstand. I'm going to put it in the playroom so I can go over all the pictures and read all the Bible stories to my children and grandchildren. I went right to my order book. I signed you up. You were ready. Is that what you do in One Heartbeat Away? You give us nuggets to be able to go and talk to a cross-country runner. You know, have you ever thought about what's going to happen when you die? If you'd asked that, you know, Forrest Gump, if you'd asked Mr. Christian, are you a Christian? Would that have turned him off?
Yeah, that would have been the spotlight in your eyes way too quick. That's like, do you believe in Jesus or whatever? Well, Muslims will say yes to that. But they believe in Isa, which is Jesus to them, but in a totally different way than we do. So, oh my gosh, I've come so far in 10 years. But the thing that propelled me to know so much more about my Savior was witnessing. Because when you go out there and share your faith, lost people have legitimate questions. Well, it drove me back to my Bible, back to apologetics books to find answers so we could help them answer their questions. And one thing I've just learned through the years is witnessing is not a presentation, it's a conversation. You have a conversation with Christian and Christine, those two people that were sitting on the steps over at that building at Notre Dame. Jesus had a conversation with the rich young ruler, a conversation with the woman at the well. So no, I've learned so much more. I'm just so much more excited and comfortable, and I would rather have a good hour-long chat with anybody than just a little quick two-minute one because I said something and then I feel like, well, they rejected me because I was probably a jerk is probably what it was. But I'd rather just be friendly, kind, get into that conversation. One thing I always tell people, Terry, make sure you get them lost before you get them saved. Because once they know they're lost, they want the answer. And, of course, that's what the Ten Commandments do, which we've talked about in this book and in my other book. And it's just a great way to witness people. So they see the problem, then they want the solution. Because that's actually what salespeople do anyways. They create the problem, then they want the solution to solve it.
Absolutely. And like Ray Comfort, says in his great book, How to Lead Your Children to the Lord, if you lead them to the Lord without their knowledge of sin, it may not stick. How can you be saved from something that you don't know anything about? You got to know what sin and what hell is all about. Ray Comfort says in his book, if you go to a group of little kids and say, hey, let me tell you about hell. It's a place of burning and gnashing of teeth and it's yucky. Who wants to go there? Nobody. Well, let me tell you about heaven. It's streets of gold and streams of life and just, you know, it's just heavenly. Who wants to go there? Everybody. Nobody wants to go to hell, but they don't understand salvation. Now, in your great book, One Heartbeat Away, let's get back to it. You talk about evolution because do you find in today's society in America that if you go and you start talking about evolution and get them thinking about evolution, that it opens the door to talk about Christianity and about God and about heaven and eternity?
Well, definitely. That's what we did in Chapter 1. We just showed you how to prove there was a God because that's one of the big questions I have. The big deterrent for people, especially college age, high school age and up, is the theory of evolution. It's one of the biggest arguments I get from people. So once I can show them that actually it's not provable, we use different animals in here just to show you, and one of them we looked at was the gecko lizard. And this lizard has these suction cups on its feet. And if these suction cups are used, so it can walk on ceilings and stuff like that. Well, evolution, it would have to come partially at a time. So if it just had a partial suction cup, it wouldn't be walking on the ceiling. It would be food on the floor for some other animal that came by. If it had too much suction, it ain't going to be able to pick up its feet and keep walking on the ceilings. It's going to be stuck there. I mean, it's illogical to think that this would partially come into play. It would have to become as a whole, complete animal. But see, once you see that grand design, you know there must be a designer behind it.
Well, does macroevolution, and in your answer explain macroevolution, does macroevolution explain how life could have come into being and then evolve from a simple one cell to the complex body that we have today?
Well, there's no possible way. And even an eighth grader who was reading this book, he read this one thing in the book. One thing we talked about was if you put all the pieces of a watch into a shoebox and you shook it up for a year, do you actually believe it would shake up into a functioning watch? And of course not. If you did it 100 years, do you think it would? No. If you did it 1,000,000 years, do you think it would shake up into a functioning watch? And of course not. It's totally illogical. Well, how could that happen to even one cell when you look at the intricate nature, how that cell works? And if it couldn't work to a simple little watch, it couldn't work building a cell, a zebra, a human being. See, the watch had a designer. It had a watchmaker. You know what? A cell, a zebra, and a man had a designer also, and that designer was the creator God of the universe, Genesis chapter 1.
Now, what do they call that, intelligent design, and aren't the courts now saying you can't teach intelligent design?
Well, here's even the problem. Even if we could teach kids intelligent design, it still leaves open the huge question, who's the designer? And see, Muslims come and say, well, it's Allah that designed it. Or Hindus could say, we have 300 million gods who designed it. See, that's why we have to get back, not just teaching about the design, is to teach the designer and who it is. We have got to get the Bibles back into our schools today. And one thing we have to remember is even if the courts of America continue to not allow teachers to teach out of the Word of God, students can still legally bring their Bibles into school and share their faith with their friends, with their teachers, and that's the ammunition they need to have in their backpacks every single day. It's the Word of God that's going to change lives. Even if I know there's a designer, I still got to find out who it is.
Well, Mark, could a parent take your book, One Heartbeat Away, and as their child, whether it's third grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, eighth grade, 12th grade, sit down with them and help design an English paper, maybe a paper for biology or whatever, about who the designer is by taking, let's say, taking the eye and how the eye takes in light, and you got the lens, and you got the optic nerve, and you got the brain, and you got the, you know, all the things in the brain that tell people that's an American flag, or that's just a wall, or that's a communist flag. Could a parent sit down and really use this as a teachable moment?
Well, that's interesting that you said that. We actually have a quote in the chapter from Charles Darwin, and Charles Darwin could not figure out how the eye could come into being without a designer. He said it was just totally ludicrous. He said absurd in the highest degree is what he wrote in his book, The Origin of Species. So, no, that's a great idea. One thing we teach the kids at a camp I speak at is every chance you get from an English paper to public speech, a speech you could do in a classroom, every chance you get, tackle an issue that has a Christian worldview to it. So every time you're doing something from those lines, when you read the paper in front of the class or do your presentation or whatever, you're at least speaking to the teacher that has to read that paper. Then you're speaking to the 30 kids in the classroom or 40 kids that when you give your public presentation. And then what we have seen is many, many people take these books and give them to their teachers for Christmas, give them to their professors in college, so just they can back up with what they've been sharing in the classroom.
We can use it as a teachable moment with our kids. Our children, our kids can take, our teenagers can take it to use it as a teachable moment in the public schools. Mark, let me interject this, that years ago, the gays started a new tactic. They got the teachers to give open-ended assignments, like, go home this weekend and read something in the Chronicle, come back on Monday and write three sentences about it, or three paragraphs about whatever you want to read about. because they knew someone would write about the OU beating Texas Tech. Somebody would write about Kansas State beating Texas. Somebody would write about a snowstorm back east, or President Bush gets a thumping, and also somebody would write about gay marriage and about accepting homosexuality as a viable lifestyle. And since the student brought it up, they can discuss it. Why can't, and we're going to have Kelly Shackelford on from the Free Market Foundation to give us more of the insights of the legalities of what a student can do. But Mark, are you saying that we need to prod and teach and encourage and really request our students to pray about injecting their Christian worldview in their papers?
Most definitely. I'm telling you, that's, a teacher can talk about anything that's brought up in class. There's certain things they can't bring up, such as the religious thing, but once it's brought up, I've actually taught public school teachers to ask their kids, how do y'all celebrate Thanksgiving? What's Thanksgiving about? Then some kid is going to give a Christian response, and then they can go ahead and play off of that. So what you also are doing, you're helping the Christian teachers who sometimes can't bring things up in a classroom or feel uncomfortable. When you bring it up as a student, now the teacher can officially talk about it because you brought it up as a kid. So no, any chance you get to inject something into a small group, into a paper, into a public speech, you better go for it, because that's something that might last for eternity, just to get somebody thinking. That happened to me in college. There was a kid, I was taking an anthropology class, and it's all about evolution. Some kid sitting on the back row raised his hand up, started coming back at that professor, sharing about what the Bible said. I'm a total non-believer at this point. They went back and forth for about 10 minutes, and this is what I remember, Terry. One, I remember that this young man could not defend what he was talking about. I do remember that very well. But two, I do remember he had enough guts to stand up for what he believed, and he believed in Genesis chapter 1 and in the Bible. And I remember nothing that teacher taught 20 years ago, but I do remember a young man sitting on that last row by the wall had enough guts to stand up for what he believed.
Friends, do you have the guts to stand up for what you believe? Friends, are you planning a trip? You're going to go to the airport. You're going to have loved ones in for Thanksgiving or Christmas. To talk to somebody, a complete stranger, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Their eyes may glaze over. They may hold up their fingers and make a cross and say, get away from me. But you may ask them, how many times does your heart beat every day? You could be sitting by a complete stranger and just hold your chest and say, I was just making sure it was still beating, because someday it's going to beat the last time. Have you ever thought about what happens if your heart beats for the last time? And then just talk about the love of God. Talk about heaven. Friends, our guest is Mark Cahill. We're going to give away another copy of One Heartbeat Away.